Blog Talk Radio.
All right. God bless you. God bless you this evening, this Tuesday night. Thank God for another opportunity to break open the Word of God and to discuss some scriptures on tonight. We thank God for everyone that's tuning in, those that's going to be coming in. Thank God for those that are able to make it on the panel tonight. Not sure who all will be on, but anyway, the Word of God is still profitable, and we thank God for it. So we pray that you all are having a great week so far. Know that it's only Tuesday, but we pray that you're having a blessed week. Tuesday night, the last Tuesday night in the month of September, pretty much the last Tuesday nights we try to have is our family night, where we try to discuss husbands, wives, children, you know, different things like that, in preparation for some to be a wife, preparation for some to be a husband, and the likes. Just try to be an encouragement, to try to have some biblical principles to help lead and guide the families. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make it easy, but at least if you have some guidelines, then hopefully you got some rules and regulations to abide by. So we thank God a person without rules and regulations is a person that's chaotic. A people without rules and regulations is a people that's chaotic. So we thank God that he set forth rules in the beginning. He set forth rules dealing with the family in the beginning. Really, what he told Adam and Eve, you can eat of everything and do whatever, but this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, stay away from it. That was a rule. That was rules and regulations. Okay, so even from the beginning, dealing with the family, you know, before the church was, it was the family. And we know that the church itself is family. Okay, it's the church, is the bride. Is the bride of Christ, okay, which symbolically what we've been dealing with over the past few months on these fourth Tuesday nights is a foreshadowing, if you will, of Christ and the church, meaning Boaz, for the most part, representing Christ, and Ruth, representing the church, the one that was not originally picked out, but that was adopted in, that was brought into the family, that was engrafted through Christ. So when Israel at one time, we know, of course, in the Old Testament, it was the God of Israel, and in the New Testament, Christ opened it, pretty much opened it for all men physically. He opened it. But here in the book of Ruth, we can kind of see a foreshadowing of Ruth and Boaz, which Christ did come out of that lineage. So we just thank God that no longer do we have to go through priest and high priest or anyone. We have a direct line. We have direct, God is available to us directly through Jesus Christ. And old folks said, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. So we thank God. We want to go into that tonight. I believe on last month, we stopped at Ruth, the second chapter. I think we stopped around verse 10. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick up at verse 10, and then we'll try to finish this up tonight. Just a few more verses, so we'll try to finish this up tonight. So we're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll come back, and let's look at Ruth, the second chapter, verse 10. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you as we come now to enter into this service, this Bible study. We ask that you send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let no flesh get any glory in this service, but all glory and honor goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so up to this point, first few verses in chapter 2 starts to deal with Ruth going into the land to glean, meaning to pick from the reapers, to pick up based on the tradition of the Jews. Those that were considered poor, less fortunate, could glean, could pick up the scraps, if you will, from what may have been left out from the reapers, those that went out into the field to work. So she decided to go ahead on out, and they had made it back to Naomi's homeland, and we know that the way it worked out, when she went into the field, she didn't know what field she was going to, but the scripture says she happened to land in the field of Boaz. So she happened, but we believe, just by knowing the story, we believe that it was definitely orchestrated by God because of Ruth's faithfulness and dedication to Naomi. And not only that, but her pretty much converting to Judaism, if you will, to neglecting the Moabites, God, and becoming, committed to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So she goes into this field, and then Boaz comes back, and he began to ask the reapers, who is this? Who is this young lady? Who is this him? And they tell him that's Ruth, the one, the Moabitess that came back with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so Boaz began to inquire, and, he talks to her and then kind of tells her what he wants her to do. He begins to immediately... He is, for the most part, he's interested in her immediately. Let me tell the sisters something. If a man is interested in you, it don't take him a whole lot. You'll kind of know. If he's interested, if he's got his eye on you, if he's checking you out, and in this case, this is what. Boaz was kind of doing that. He tells her to, you can go into this portion of the field, and I've already told the young men not to touch you, not to mess with you, to leave you alone, to allow you to glean whatever. And then he even tells them to drop a little bit on purpose, leave a little bit on purpose for her. So put a little extra on it. So, he's already kind of showing he's interested just on seeing her, just on knowing her character before he actually meets her. See, sometimes our character precedes us. Okay, so you got to be careful the way you act. You got to be careful, when you're out in public, how you are. You loud, are you a fighter? Do you like being combative, So Ruth's character had already, pretty much kind of been shown, in a way to Boaz, because he had heard of the kindness, how she was, stuck by Naomi, and now the young men are telling, hey man, she's a worker, she's not lazy. Women, hey, a lot of men want you to be able to be a go-getter, be able to work if need be, hey, are you already working? Do you already got business about yourself? Are you sitting around waiting, waiting on a, I ain't going to say that, but you sit around just waiting around next to being a go-getter. Okay, so we're going to pick up in verse 10. That's just some of the highlights we just wanted to kind of point out before getting into this. So let's look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, she was talking to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. See, like I said, her character had already preceded her. Before there was much of a conversation, her character, her mannerism, the way she carried herself, watch this, the way she carried herself had already gotten Boaz's attention. Okay? No doubt we know in the text, if you go back and read, he had a lot of maidens, he had a lot of handmaidens, so him being around women or having women around him wasn't nothing special. Okay? He was used to that, but there was something about Ruth's characteristics, something about her mannerism. Okay? And we can tell just by Boaz being a man of influence, a man with some money, with a little prestige. It was no issue for him to have women and young women at that around him, but it was something about Ruth's, okay, characteristic. And as I've been saying throughout this teaching, we always hear find your Boaz, but the question is still tonight, are you a Ruth? Okay, are you a Ruth? We see where this young lady fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, you women, some women, ain't no way they going to bow no less to a boyfriend or somebody they just meet. They ain't going to bow to their husband. Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. Thank God it ain't pastoral night. But anyways, I'm out there. I'm out there now. Y'all know before I take it back, I add more to it. Some of y'all, you too busy clowning. Okay, you too busy trying to get the last word. You too busy and here this man is providing provision and protection and safety and security. He's making a way for you and putting you in a good position to be sustained. Watch this, not just for today, but for the rest of your life. Okay. When you got the right man, he's gonna bring provision and protection. He's gonna bring safety and security. Okay, he's gonna make sure you're okay, and he's gonna do all he can to make sure you don't have to worry. But are you a Ruth? Okay, are you a Ruth? Can you humble yourself? Can you submit yourself? Now let's talk to you church women. Let's talk to y'all. Can you submit? Okay, can you follow instructions? We know you can lead and you want to lead, and there's a place for that in certain areas. Okay, but ultimately for the house, he's already put the plan. God has already made the game plan. He's already put it the prototype on how the house is supposed to be ran. Okay. Now, before the fall, we can debate and say, hey, it was co-equal or this, that, and the other. Okay, yeah, I can get with you on that. But after, he made it plain and clear that Eve had to be in submission, had to be in obedience, had to be humble, had to be under the authority of Adam. All right? And we got so much, and this is not even talking to the world. This is talking to the church women. Yeah, a lot of them so busy, they so busy, they're doing everything. Yeah, and be careful when you're busy with ministry outside your house. Lord, I already know I'm in trouble. Be careful when you're so busy with ministry outside your house when you forsake the first ministry, which should be in your house. Let me say that again. Be careful when you're so busy, and somebody need to send this to somebody. Tell them, Brother Omar said, be careful when you're so busy with ministry outside the house where you forsake the ministry inside your house. You're so busy running to this church, to that church, to this conference and that. Lord, how many conferences do you need before you get delivered? How many conferences do you need before you're able to submit to your husband? Ooh, how many revivals and seminars do you need before somebody in these places really preach and really teach and tell you that you should be submissive, okay, to your own husband, not to your pastor, not to your bishop. Lord, help us tonight. Not to your presiding bishop. No, your first assignment, the first person. We got more women bowing to their pastor, but they won't bow. They'll cuss out their husband. in Jesus' name. You'll do everything your pastor and the pastor's wife, or some of you got women pastors, you'll do everything they tell you to do. But when you go home, you're mean and nasty and you're arrogant to your own husband. And you think, do you really think God honors that? I've been saying for years, God is the only one that will fire you and allow you to keep on working. You can thank you, okay. You can thank you, the Lord really moved in this church. And here you are disobedient to your own husband. But you'll do everything they ask you to do in the church. So let me get back to the text here. This woman, she bowed down. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And here your husband, he done gave you his name. He's working, taking care of business, taking care of you, taking care of the children, okay? Being there for you, being a man, you know, a strong man for you, okay? But are you a Ruth? Okay? So look at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, it hath fully been showed me. I told y'all, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Boaz said, girl, I done heard about you. Your reputation precedes you. I heard about you. I know about you. What I heard about you, I like. And now that I done came home and seeing, now I'm hearing more about you and seeing you actually work, seeing your characteristics, I can't help but to overshadow and bless and to take care of you as much as I can. Okay, because your characteristics, your mannerism, it has already went before you. Okay, what type of woman you are has already went before you. I've already heard about you. Okay, and a lot of times men, you know, when we go certain places, you know, they heard about certain women. They stay away from them. Stay away from them. Okay, so I know you want your Boaz, but once again, are you a Ruth? So the Lord recompense, or meaning repay, verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, now that you have come to trust the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay, you've forsaken those ways of where you come from. So a lot of times we got women that, well, I was brought up like this. This is just me. This is where I came from. This is just me. Well, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now that you in the Lord, you should be forsaking those nasty and other ways. Now that you in the Lord, okay. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You shouldn't be. You might, Lord help us, you might have a little nastiness, but you shouldn't be just as nasty as you was before you came to Christ. Are you sweet anytime? Are you humble anytime? Okay? You want this man to take care and do right by you, okay, as a Boaz, okay? But are you a Ruth? Are you able to show that difference? Yes, we all once did certain stuff. Okay? But if you was a cusser, a fusser, and a fighter before Christ, and you cut, fuss, and fight even more after Christ, I got a question if you got Christ. I might need to say that again. I don't even know if I can say it again. But if you was all that before Christ and you still all that and more after Christ, I question if you ever had Christ. Somewhere there should be some sweetness. There should be some kindness somewhere. Okay? There should be some humbleness about you And men, we got to make it. We ought to make it where our women. So my sister don't think this is tonight just all about the sister. But we ought to make it as Boaz showed this kindness, we ought to make it where the woman, where she feels like she's able to submit, where she's comfortable to do that. See, you do your part and she don't, then God will deal with her. Vice versa, if you don't do your part and she do, God's going to deal with you. Okay, but we ought to make it where that woman, based on the kindness, as we can see it, Boaz, you know, he got his business about himself. Boaz know who he is. He ain't a boy trying to become a man. He's already a man. And sometimes, sisters, y'all have gotten wrapped up with the boy in him when you thought you was getting the man. Okay, or that boy in him always want to return back home. Okay, when that man should say, no, I'm standing on my own. I'm out here now. Okay? And that's kind of my testimony. I got married at a young age. My wife was even younger. But once I stepped out, I was out for it. I was out. Wasn't no returning back. Wasn't no going back to my boyhood, my childhood. No, I'm a man. I'm out here now. Let's make this thing work. And from the beginning, I provided provision and protection, safety and security, and have been doing that by the grace of God over 20 years. 5 kids later and still doing it. Okay? Well, that's me. Okay? So under whose wings thou art come to trust? I think I have just one or two on the panel. Anyone on the panel tonight, y'all know I can ride this train by myself, but if anyone on the panel tonight, you got anything you would like to say up to this point? Anybody? All right. Ain't no sense of delaying it. So God going to recompense, or God going to repay for thy work. Okay? So verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. So you done dealt with me, and you really are not familiar. You just seen some of the characteristics, but you, even though you're not familiar with me, you know, meaning known me for a long time, you dealt kindly. Even though I'm not one of your regular handmaids, I'm not one of, let's bring it here, I'm not one of those regular chicks that you got around you. See, what's different about you? Hey, what's different about you? And God knows we, and I don't have social media, and that's for a reason, but we have so many, and it's crept into the church, unfortunately, that we got more women, they more concerned about being sexy than they are about being sanctified. Oh, God, I done really messed up tonight. Lord Jesus. We got so many in the church, supposed to be saved women, that's more concerned about in the church and everywhere else about being sexy than they are about being sanctified, meaning set aside. Okay, for the Lord's use, sanctify yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you. Modesty has in the church has went out the building, has long left. I mean, we know we saying building, but the church. Okay, we got too many our sisters that are more concerned about being sexy than they are about being sanctified. Being sexy might catch the eye, but if you be sanctified, you catch their heart. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Being sexy might catch the eye, but being sanctified will catch the heart, okay? So Ruth is saying here, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids, I ain't like everybody else. Why are you showing me this kindness? What is it about? And a real man, I'm going to tell you because I am one, don't want one that, if he can see it with everybody else, why did he want something different? He wants something different. And he don't want his woman showing everything to everybody else. I'm talking about in the church. I ain't talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church. Okay? What's different? What's peculiar about you? Whatever happened to modesty among the believers? Now the skirts done came up so high, and the blouse done came down so low, they almost meeting each other. And when you're shouting and you're jumping and you're dancing and you're seeing everything moving. And then you get mad. Then you get mad at the preachers and the deacons because they trying to cover with one eye. They trying to cover, but the other eye open. Okay? But because the mothers are doing the same thing, ain't nobody to challenge or to help teach these younger. The Bible say let the older teach the younger how to marry. How to be lovers of their own husband. Chaste keepers, you know, and raise their children. Keep the home together. But when the mothers are trying to be sexy, then what in the world, when the mothers of the church and the older women in the church, they trying to compete with the younger women, so, Lord, they getting shots and getting Botox and getting BBLs and everything else. I'm trying to compete instead of just being modest and living in holiness and sanctification. Lord, see, they won't invite me to no women's conference. Yeah, I probably wouldn't go anyway, but anyway, another story. All right, so why are you showing me this favor? Why are you showing me this kindness? All right, and listen to what the man says. And Boaz said to her, at mealtime, come thou hither. Listen at this man. Listen at him rapping. Come thou hither and eat of the bread. I'm going to feed you tonight. We're going out. And dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed, and she left. She went home. But he took care of her. He took care of her. And no doubt I can see Boaz even here trying to just, you know, show off a little bit. See, a man, you know, especially when he know he got it going on, he know he got his business about himself, he want to show you, you know, he ain't going to probably put it all out there, but to show you nothing to get your interest, to intrigue you. Okay? But you can't see Boaz because you messing with his cousin, Bobo, and his nephew, Bobby. And you wonder why you can't, you know, grow because you keep messing with Bobo. And Bobo belongs in the circus. He's a clown. Okay, but you keep falling for Bobo. And Boaz just keep on walking by and keep on walking by because something about Bobo keep enticing you. And until you make up in your mind you tired of Bobo and the circus with all the animals, with all the tricks, and you know what they say about tricks, ask the rabbit. Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. And you too old for tricks. You too old for games. You playing them and you playing tricks and tricks getting played on you. You're too old for that. But you want your Boaz, but all your Ruth. Okay? Let me read that again in verse 14. And Boaz said to her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. And was sufficed and left, meaning she was full. He took care of her. She was full. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Okay? Let her, in other words, give her kind of free space. Even the sheaves, the dry measure, the heap area, let her, leave her alone. Don't reproach her. Don't stop her. Okay? And that's what a man want to do. He want to take care of you and let you know you okay. You okay with me. I got you. Okay? I would think if we would, shouldn't that be what a real woman, is that what a real woman wants? A real man say, I got you. I'm taking care of you. You covered. You covered. You're okay. I got you. You mine. Okay? It's my duty. Lord help us now. It's my, yeah. I got you. Let me stick with where I'm at. Now, ain't that what a real woman wants for a real man to reassure her? Reassure her so she can have confidence in her man? Where she can stand by her man? Okay? So Boaz made sure that, and if you go back and read just even up to this point, there's little nuggets. He's making sure he instruct these other young men. Why y'all think, why, you know, if this was an open forum, that would be a question. Why is Boaz instructing these young men? Because, you know, hey, just like in the Lion King, it's the same thing with the males, okay? Especially you got an older man, you got all these, what the old men would say, these young bucks, no doubt probably peeking at it and thinking, you know, they got a shot. Boaz is letting it be known, hey, partner, no sense in shooting your shot. Y'all pardon the way I said that, but that no, hey, no sense in shooting the shot. She's already covered. Y'all remember who y'all work for. So not only is he, you know, he's as a man, he's, you know, kind of a right and stepping up to say, hey, I got my eye, I'm watching you. Got my eye on you. And while I got my eye on you, y'all take y'all eyes off her. See? When I start dating my wife, my girlfriend at the time, I didn't mind going to her church, her granddaddy, pastor, probably one of the first black, if you would call mega churches in Marietta, Pentecostal mega churches in Marietta. Okay, historical and all that, back to the Bible. I didn't care. I knew she was born and raised in that church. I knew there was plenty of young men and probably some old ones in now too, looking at her, checking her out. But that didn't bother me. They didn't know me from, as folks say, a can of paint. But when I stepped in, I stepped hard. They had everybody wonder, who is this? Who is this young man coming in this church like this? And many tried to run me out. They run me out the back door, I come through the front. They run me out the front, I come through the side. I came Monday night. I came Wednesday night. I came Thursday night. I came Saturday and Sunday night, too. They couldn't get rid of me. I had to make my presence known, and a real man wants to make his presence known in your life. Lord bless us. Help us tonight. Okay? Real man only can be a secret for so long. I want folk to know. In other words, that male in him wants to claim his territory. You can't hold, man, all these secrets. No, you can't hold me a secret. No, because if you're holding me as a secret, whatever secrets you got. Let me get through with this tonight. Lord, help us. All right. So verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Listen to that. Y'all know most good restaurants prepare bread for you. Got some bread for you. Before your meal come out, before, you know, just as a little appetizer. And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parched corn. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. See, he was doing, now he's doing things on purpose. He's doing extra stuff. He's doing little extra things for her. All right? And leave them. Okay, so when you pick it, when you reap these sheaves and different, these grains, this wheat and this barley, these grains, leave some on purpose. Leave some extra on purpose. See, women, you don't know when you got him, well, he'll do a little extra stuff for you, stuff you ain't got to ask for, a little extra stuff. Then he said, and rebuke her not. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Barley, y'all know, was a type of plant, a type of grain. Hey, barley was generally easier. As you can see where it says that she beat out, barley was easier to get to and to get to its right point than wheat. Wheat, you had to do a lot harder work to get to the grain and the plant part of the wheat. Okay, but here the barley, you know, it was very easy to get to the core of that. All right, so she had did so much. For ephah barley, and she took it and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So she ate good and worked good and had some leftovers that she wanted to bring to her mother-in-law. Once again, showing her characteristic, showing her personality. Okay, she could have ate it all and left whatever. No, she still had Naomi in mind. When she brought some back, even after she was satisfied, she reminded me of, I hardly ever, every now and then I have what they call a doggy bag, a to-go box. Generally, in a lot of cases, I finish mine, but my wife, you know, she generally have a to-go box. And what my children have discovered is pretty much the first one to say, I want your leftovers, I want them to go, whatever, that's who going to get it. So when they know we going out on a date, they try to be the first one to say or text. I mean, from my youngest, well, Ice Pick don't really, you know, but from Macho to Pamela to Zach and Amaria, you know, I don't know if it's Mars or much, but definitely those three middle ones, okay? And then, even if they don't ask, we try to put something in the refrigerator, thinking you ever put something in the refrigerator, thinking you're gonna tie that thing up the next day, thinking you go to work and come home for lunch or come home after work, thinking that you're about to finish your meal and to go in there only for one of your kids or your spouse to have secretly eaten it. Okay, that happens so much, especially here at the Zachary home. All right, before I close out, anybody on the panel, y'all know I'm going on with it tonight, but anybody on the panel got anything they want to say up until this point before I get ready to close this thing out?
Come in and make a quick comment. I just love the way that Ruth was still a hard worker, even though Boaz came in strong and he was pretty much laying everything at her feet. But because she wasn't putting on, as we do in 2023, she was genuinely being herself and who she was as an individual. She was still out working. She was still out gathering grain. And it still showed how selfless she was as a person, because with her leftovers, she could have took them back to where she was and just, you know, maybe saved them for later on at night or saved them for the next day or whatever. But no, she still remembered her mother-in-law. She still thought about Naomi. So all of these characteristics are showing, you know, the question that you've been asking from the beginning. You want a Boaz, but are you a Ruth? Because when he initially saw her, she was out in the field working hard. You know, she was probably hot, sweaty. I highly doubt there was makeup. and she was working. But now, you know, in this new generation, as you've spoken about, we got to show everything. I'm talking from top to bottom, or rooted to the tootie, as the old people like to say. Then we have to be loud. We have to always make a scene. There is nothing that more than what I can't stand is when I go out and try to have a nice dinner, whether it's with one of my friends or, you know, my husband and my children, and there's a group of women, and y'all can get mad if y'all want to, but black woman here myself, but it's usually us. It's usually us that do the absolute most and will ruin the entire atmosphere for the restaurant. You do not have to be that loud. You do not have to show every single thing for somebody to pay attention to you. So Ruth is that example of hardworking, selfless, and I'm not going to say that. Yes, I am, because you're my pastor, and not whorish. She's that example of what more people need to be. So, you know, as I said from the beginning, since we started reading this about 2 months or so ago, if you need a self-reflection as to who you need to be as an individual, man or woman, but I'm going to speak to the women, and go back and read this and start checking some stuff off. Do you align with the qualities and characteristics that Ruth has? Do you align with some of those things?
Wow. Great point, Sister Tolbert. Great point. Me and my wife, I took her. I have a little slogan I just gave her. Her birthday was on the 19th, and I started singing a song to her, "Lordy, Lordy, Pam's over 40." And I took her. She had some requests that she wanted for her birthday. She wanted some Converse shoes, and we got those for her. She wanted a spa day with a, you know, facial and massage, and I normally do that. We've never done the facial, but I normally do her massages, you know, get her that for like 30 minutes, but, you know, I kind of doubled it up this time, you know, especially for her birthday. So then I found she loves seafood, so I found a seafood restaurant down in Atlanta, and I took her there, and you know, we'd never been before. So I took her there, and we went in and had, you know, enjoying our meal and the festivities and everything. And she may not have noticed, but I noticed there was three women that came in and sat, like, right in front of us. And the conversation and the dressing, I mean, everything you just said, Sister Toby, that's why I'm thinking about it, because what you just said, we just experienced this, you know, the other week. My wife didn't say nothing, you know, she didn't. I get, you know, she has some big crab legs in front of her, but just loud. You know, like you said, black sisters, just loud and definitely not modestly dressed or anything like that. But it's like, whose attention, you know, the way you dress and the way you carry yourself, the way you talk, You're gonna draw some attention, one way or the other. It's just going to be, as I told you earlier, is it Bo-Bo, or is it Boaz? Right? It's you know, Bo-Bo, Bozo, okay, or is it Boaz? So, you know, it's. I mean, I'm glad you said it, because I've been saying stuff and like, well, you're just a man, you're just that, 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 you know, probably the listeners, but now it comes from a sister. And it comes from another young black woman. Okay, so, all right, anybody else? Great, excellent commentary right there, Sister Tober. Anyone else on the panel before we go further? All right, let's go ahead and finish this. Let's look at verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Okay, remember, Naomi don't, I mean, of course Naomi knows Boaz, but she don't know nothing about what's been going on. Okay, so, you know, Naomi just now coming back in, picture right here. So her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" In other words, where you been working? Back to what Sister Tova was saying. She was still out, you know, making it happen. And black women, you know, well, women in general, but, you know, I know majority of our audience, black women, you know, I can't shoot you down. I got to give you credit. Y'all know how to make things happen. Okay? You know how to make things work. Okay? All right, so where has thou gleaned today? Ruth, where you been working, girl? Where you been? And where wroughtest thou, you know? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Listen at what Naomi's saying and not even knowing, okay, for the most part, who it was and where she was working. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Look at how God set all this thing up. And Naomi said unto her, watch this, remember Naomi, you know, she's just now hearing about all this, okay? So Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." In this kindness that's been shown to her and Ruth, and in remembrance, okay, in remembrance of the dead, Elimelech and the two husbands, okay? And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. See how God orchestrated this? See how God fixed it? Remember, the early scripture said, was she hap, H-A-P, she hap or happened to end up in the field or the land of Boaz? But we know it wasn't just haphazard. It was all orchestrated by God. Remember, Jesus had to come through here. Oh, I almost ran around my room. Jesus had to come through here. And now Naomi is realizing even more how God is maneuvering and moving, making moves on her behalf, on hers and Ruth's behalf. Of course, she knew who Boaz was, but at the time, Ruth didn't know. Ruth didn't know. And now that Naomi is figuring this out and knowing what's going on, oh, she's excited. She's excited and makes it known this is our next of kin. He's a kinsman. And no doubt Ruth didn't know she didn't probably know necessarily the historicity of or the tradition or the cultures of the Jews where, hey, the man dies, there's no seed, there's no children, then the next, either a brother or nephew or a cousin or uncle raise up seed, you know, for that, with that woman in reference or remembrance or in dedication to the man, okay, a male seed, okay, so that that family can continue on, right? Okay, so that the land that the family had can still be with that family, so that the woman, whether it's the mother or the wife or whomever, is not just considered a widow where now they have to glean because there's no man to take care of them. There's no man around, okay? So now they are considered, based on there's not being a man around, a male child or a husband, they're considered part of the lower class now. Then they're looked at differently. Okay, but now Naomi is letting Ruth know, wow, you don't understand, Ruth, but he's our next kinsman. He's our near kin. He's my kinfolk. Okay? And Ruth, verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Stay close to the young men until they finish working, till they finish reaping, because they're going to leave a little bit, they're going to leave a little something for you every time, and they're going to leave something on purpose, so you're going to have more than enough. See, a man, you know, the right man, he'll work so that you don't just have enough, you got more than enough, you have an abundance, okay? And when my wife first got married, there were some things that we didn't have, some things we desired or whatever. 20-something years later, we can look and say, we ain't where we was. Okay? That's what you should be able to spell out for 10, 15, 20 years. You want to look back and say, well, baby, we ain't where we was. It was harder for us then. We could barely, you know, I had a couple of checks that I didn't know would clear. I'm talking about little bitty checks, too, $10, $15 checks. Hey, but God, we was never late on our rent. You know, we just got a house about 6 years ago, but even then, even through having this house, never been late on the mortgage. Okay, lights have never been off, not unless it was a storm. Water's always been on. Electricity always burning. And when you got kids, and all y'all that got kids, you know what it's like, whether you married or not, to come in the house and all the lights on. All the TVs on. You can only watch one at a time. There ain't a sports bar. Refrigerator wide open. Ain't a stove on. Ain't nothing, but nobody cooking nothing. Ain't nobody in the refrigerator, just wide open. And I didn't understand that till I had children. I didn't understand why my mom and dad used to get on us. Why are these lights on? You ain't even using these. This light, this room don't even need a light in it. Why is this light on? Okay, but the kids don't see that. And as the old people tell it, they understand that better by and by. All right, let me go ahead and close here. Verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, listen at that, my daughter, that thou go out with his matings, that they meet thee not in another field. In other words, Mama Naomi, instruct and give advice. See, that's why we need older women. We need women that's been married for some time to be able to teach these younger married that's been married just a year, just getting married and about ready to give up. Okay, to be able to teach them some things. And Naomi encourages Ruth, say, hey, listen, okay? Don't go into another field. In other words, stay in the area that you've been told to. See, sometimes we get in trouble because, Lord help us, because we go looking in somebody else's field. Slap yourself a high five and say, stay in your field. Stay in your field. Okay? Stay in your field, I can protect you. That field may look bad over there, but you don't know what's in that field. So Naomi encourages Ruth, hey, don't go looking other places. Stay right now. Because right now, he's next to Ken. Right there is a good spot. That not only would you be provided for, I'll be provided for, and the generations to come. There's a Savior coming out of this. Woo! Almost got up and jumped around again. There's a Savior coming out of this. Abide in the field. Don't go looking other places. Women, you got a good man at home. He's working for you. He's taking care of you. He might be blind, but he say only got eyes for you. Okay? You are trying to look wise and otherwise. Stay in your field. Help till your land. Help build your area. Help build your home. A wise woman. If I was at church, I'd probably key up a wise woman. Build it. Her own house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. Oh, bless the Lord. All right, let me close this thing. Let me close it. Verse 22 again, and I go into 23 and I close. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his matings, like you've been instructed, that they meet thee not in any other field, that they see you not. See, if you're in another field, watch this. You're unprotected. When you're in another field, if you go to another field, you're open to what may happen. Because he's already instructed the young man to leave you alone, you know, to take care of you, to make sure you eat, and I'm providing for you in this field. But if you want to go somewhere else, you open yourself up for the wolves. Out in your field. Stay where there's safety. Stay where there's security, even though it might get hard sometime in marriages and relationships. Stay where it's safe. Work on it. And while you praying, God, work on your mate. Pray that God work on you. I can't hear nobody. Lord, that's what I would say if I was in church. While you praying, Lord, touch his mind. Touch him, Lord. Do something with him, Lord. You need to stop praying down and say, Lord, touch me. Touch my mind. Do something with me. So Naomi tells Ruth, all right, hey, don't go looking in the other field. Don't go trying to gleam over there because we don't know what's in there. You know what you got here. And that's what has thrown off so many couples, so many husbands and wives. They knew it. They, some way or another, they lost focus on what they had at home. they started looking in someone else's field. And when you start looking in someone else's field, you open yourself up for a great fall. Now the family's messed up. That spouse messed up. The children messed up. And what you worked so hard to build, what took you so long to build it to this point, mighty is the fall of it. And what took you so long to build can crumble, can fall in a few fleeting moments because you wanted to look in someone else's field. All right, I'm closing. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. In other words, she was obedient to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She was obedient. She listened. Are you an obedient woman whom listens to sound advice, especially as a married woman? Or are you getting your advice from that single friend of yours that can't keep a man? And you don't know it, but she probably got her eyes on your man. And you keep going to tell her all the bad stuff about your man. And if you're not careful, you're going to be by yourself. And you're going to look around and she's going to your man. And that goes both ways. Okay? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They two being two flesh become one. Those that God has joined together, let not man put asunder. All right. God bless you. I didn't think I could make it almost 8 o'clock, but I'm right there at it. Let's do any. Sister Tober, great comment, great commentary on tonight. If you have anything else or anyone else on the panel that may have one last comment for tonight before I do the offering and dismiss, anyone on the panel, anyone else? All right. God bless you. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I told Elder Oliver in the beginning, I said, man, I don't know who on tonight, but any to our panel, any of our Bible teachers, any night, you should be able to walk, even got to walk alone, okay? You, the poor man that can't build his own fire. You should bring your fire, you should bring your wood and your lighter fluid and matches with you. Anytime you preaching, anytime you're doing Bible study, bring it all with you so you're well prepared. Okay, we thank God for the panel. And they're here, the panel is here just as a support. But in the event the panel is not, you know, thank God for this platform. It's a way that we can be all over, wherever we're at, all over the country or wherever, and we can tune in. Okay, but every teacher, you always be prepared. I'm a stickler for that. You build your own fire, okay? You build it and you put it out. All right, so I'm about to put this out. So offering information on tonight, for those of you that would like to give to our Extended Arms ministry, we're still helping people in our community. We're still vibrant. We're still alive and well, Extended Arms. Okay, so we thank y'all for those of you that have been supporting that ministry. You can give there tonight at Cash App $ EA Ministry. Once again, $ EA Ministry. And whatever the Lord gives, whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give, then we ask that you do that. We're not asking for any certain amount, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And if you would like to give to our church, our local assembly, Praise Tabernacle Church, you can do so at $PTC877. Once again, $PTC877. And may the Lord bless you real good. Now listen, we are still anticipating being in our new facilities on this Sunday. I've been talking, emailing those in the authority as far as the school system. We're trying to get everything nailed down. We have pretty much done our part as far as the insurance and everything that we need to do. Now we're pretty much waiting on the school. We got two different schools that are pretty much negotiating on how we're going to, you know, which way we're going to make sure that they can accommodate what we need, which we don't need much. We just need the facility and need some chairs or whatever. We got our own chairs if need be. So y'all just be in prayer. I'm already anticipating that if we don't have a decision by Friday, we may just do Sunday, may do live. Everyone stay at home, eating your cereal and oatmeal, and me and my family will come on live here in our home as we did for a year or two during when COVID was at its highest. So we already between that or may have a outdoor service right up here at Rose Joint. We got several options. And thank God for Facebook Live and that portion of social media and things like that. That way, you know, wherever we are, we can still get a word, okay, for our local church. But hopefully we will have the contract and have everything settled within the next few days. And I'll be letting everyone know. Just stay connected to the church Facebook. And generally, I got all members' numbers. So once I know for sure, probably by Friday, no later than Saturday, what direction we're going, I'll be letting everybody know. Okay, so we just thank God that we have options. Okay, thank God we have options. And we are well able to financially do what we need to do for this facility. So we just pray that everything gets settled within the next few days so we can be ready to move on to the next phase of our ministry. So we know God is faithful and he's just, and we are trusting him because he knows what's best. And we just thank y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. We thank God for you. And we're going to get ready to dismiss. And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday. We'll see you Sunday morning at 9 o'clock hour, where we'll be coming back with another praise and worship, another preaching of the gospel, and another service in which we are endeavoring to lift up the name of Jesus. You be encouraged. Have a great week. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. As we leave this place, but never your presence, we pray that you would strengthen us and keep us. Keep our minds on you. You say, I keep you in perfect peace. If you just keep your mind on me, God, we just thank you to leave this place, but never your presence. Matthew 28:19-20 encourages us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, no matter how low you are. Jesus said, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. God bless.